I know, it's fucked up, man. Ever since Hoof became a Morton again, he's really been cracking down on things. The worst of all is the reinstallment of the judges.
Word. I was in Sector 3 last week, and I saw someone get 6 months in the ISO cubes for littering. The thing is, the guy was throwing a gum wrapper into a trash can and missed. He was reaching down to pick up the wrapper to throw it in, and suddenly a judge is on the scene, busts him. How fucked up is that?
Jesus. I thought Hoof being back in charge was going to be a good thing.
I know, right? 6 months, ISO cubes for bad aim.
Shh, quiet, Dave. Do you want to get us into trouble?
Oh, relax, Ryan. We're in the store. No one's around.
Besides, in Apocalypse Video, I am the law.
Jesus Christ! Fridge, it's you. Jesus. Gotta be more gentle on our front door. What can we do for you?
Silence, scumbag. Received a report there's been a person in Sector 2 impersonating a judge.
Oh. Come on, Fridge. We're just having a little fun.
Stun setting.
Whoa, Fridge, hold on!
Judgment time. Your crime is impersonating a judge. Sentence is 1 year. ISO cubes.
It's a lie! The reports have been falsified!
Resisting judgment. Sentence 1 year. ISO cubes.
I never broke the law! I am the law!
Knew you'd say that. Nut stun.
In the not-too-distant future of the Neo post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Peachtree is the manufacturing base for all the slow-mo in Mega City 1.
You know how often we get a judge up in Peachtree?
Well, you got one now.
She has control of everything. Levels 1 to 200.
This is Mama. Somewhere in this block are two judges.
That's not good.
I want him dead.
We're gonna have to go through him. Rookie, you ready?
Yeah.
You look ready.
Fire!
Judgment time.
Let's finish this.
Mama is not the law. I'm the law.
We're back. Judgment has been carried out. The stun setting, thankfully, on Fridge's lawgiver has subsided. I'm now speaking normally again. And, you know, I gotta say, it's never said what the ISO cubes are in this movie, but apparently the ISO cubes are just a forced screening of the movie Dread from 2012. So, honestly, I don't mind the ISO cubes. I'm down for ISO cubes.
Yeah. And good thing you ended that way, Dave, because I was about to get real pissed off that maybe you didn't like this movie.
Uh-oh. Is there going to be some judgment delivered in this episode?
Anybody that doesn't like Dread, 1 year ISO cubes.
Okay, so real quick, you are Jana, you are Fridge's rookie.
Oh yeah,
you tagged along with Fridge. Okay, so real quick, do you really quickly want to explain where Fridge went?
Hi guys, Fridge stepped out. I'm her rookie. So you know, I still can dole out ISO cube punishments. So anybody that speaks badly about Dread, I am still technically a judge until my assessment is over.
Is your name Rookie?
1 year ISO cube for questioning me!
No! Well, Jana, you're tough. But honestly, I'm glad that Fridge is gone. I feel a lot more comfortable with your judgment. you were a little lighter on your judgment. You're a more understanding judge. But I was going to say Judge Dredd, but let me rephrase. But simply Dread from 2012.
Yeah. This
is a film we're talking about. This is, we're going to talk about, well, you guys didn't have to suffer through it, but this is my sentencing that I had to watch Dread and ISO cubes. I'm your host, Dave. This is kind of an impromptu episode.
You just said you didn't mind that being the punishment in the eye. I can't figure out if you like this or not, Dave.
Well, no, I was just saying, like, I wasn't really sure what the ISO cube sentencing was, but if it's just, at least in my case, a screening of the film Dread, I'm all for it. I love this movie. So judge me all you want, judges.
Yes, it is a wonderful movie.
That voice you heard was, of course, Jana, I guess a rookie in the judge system.
Yeah, you got to diversify in the waste.
Do you have a quote from the movie, Judge?
Oh, yeah.
I was pointing at her phone and she's looking at me like I'm crazy. She's like, why would you gesture at that?
I think this might be the closest that Dredd has to a joke in the movie. So it's one of my favorite lines. Wondering when you'd remember you left your helmet behind. Sir, a helmet can interfere with my psychic abilities. I think a bullet might interfere with them more.
Classic bit.
That's his version of a joke, and it's just brilliant. It's comedic gold.
We're also joined by Cody.
In case you people have forgotten, this block operates under the same rules as the rest of the city. Mama is not the law. I am the law.
I'm so glad that they worked that. That almost, well, I'm assuming, I haven't read the comics, but I'm assuming the whole I am the law thing is a big thing in the comics, right?
Let's just assume.
Probably.
Let's finish introducing everybody so everyone can say their stupid impressions. All right.
Ryan, quote.
Save me a lot of paperwork if you just confess now.
Oh, I love it. So good. Classic.
It motherfucker.
It is crazy how he just starts calling everybody motherfucker.
It wouldn't be, I feel like it wouldn't be a cop movie, post-apocalyptic or otherwise, if paperwork didn't come in at some point.
Yeah. They hate it. They hate paperwork.
And finally, we're joined by Michael.
Welcome to the inside of your head, Dave. It's kind of empty in here.
Got his ass. Perfect.
Well, it's appropriate you say that. I usually tend to think with my nuts and my so now that those are gone.
Well, this was a good episode, guys. I'll see you next time.
Dread, 2012. This movie,
it slaps.
I really wish that this was more successful. It was kind of a bomb. Yeah. Apparently it wasn't marketed very well. It was a low budget movie. Mm-hmm. Relatively speaking. But I remember seeing this in 2012 in 3D, and I just remember thinking this feels like RoboCop. This is like a great comic book adaptation. Like I would have loved to have seen, you know, an expansion of this world, because this is such a fun movie.
Yeah. It seems like they were trying to set it up for that at the end, because he was, you know, he did his outro narration and it kind of showed the more expanse of the city. And she obviously, it's a pass. Passed.
Well, there's great. This movie does a great job. I love that it's self-contained, but at the same time, it drops little breadcrumbs that don't feel like this is setting up the sequel. It's just little breadcrumbs about the overall world. Like, for instance, in the beginning when his mind gets read a little bit in some way, she's about to say something, but then she gets cut off. So you're like, okay, that's a great way to set things up without being like, sequel bait.
Yeah.
Would that be like what his potential backstory is, do you think?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Like because we don't really get anything of that, right?
Mm-mm. Right. Dredge Dredd is, he's like, in the movie, I can't speak for the comic book, but I believe this is my knowledge of it. You know, the thing is, he's like a faceless enforcer of the law. That's all you need to know about him is he is Judge Dredd. Like, nothing else matters. The Stallone movie obviously was like, well, actually, you're a clone baby, and you're actually manufactured to be a perfect judge.
Clone baby?
And that might even be from a comic storyline, but the idea is he's just this face. So her reading his mind, it's like, oh, I'm seeing behind the helmet. That's something later.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Judge Dredd is just like a dude, right? He doesn't have any sort of like
powers.
Although he's incredibly effective at his job.
Did you see his lawbringer brother? Like, I mean, what more power do you need than a gun that you talk to?
I just want to, because it is almost like he's clearly like, one of the things I like about it is like how everyone knows who he is. And they're like, oh, Dredd, oh no.
Yes.
Like, I like that there's a lot of building up of his character, but not in a way that's like, okay, here's exposition dump.
Right.
It's just little pieces here and there. Yeah. Like, one of my favorite bits is when the crooked judges come in the third act of the movie and they're like, we want a million. And Mama's like, a million? They're like, do you know who this judge is? No? Well, I do. And we want a million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bits like that are great.
Yeah. Yes. It's funny because Judge Dredd is, it's a British property from the 2000 AD comic books, right? It's funny that this movie like sells you on the idea that, oh yeah, everybody knows who Judge Dredd is, including the audience. You know, like, we're watching it, and it's like, yeah, they should ask for $1 million because this guy's a fucking madman. He's not a madman. He's just ruthlessly effective. You know, I was thinking while we were watching it, it reminds me of a movie that came out just a few years later, John Wick, in that this movie is just proficiency porn, right? You're like, Judge Dredd is good at his job. You're going to watch it.
There's an angle, though. I can't decide if this is a problem I have with the movie or not, but
can I cut in real quick? Is this anyone's first time watching this?
Yeah, my first time.
I knew it.
Oh, we all know.
Is it only me?
Yeah, I was wondering when you were going to say this was your first time watching this.
My birthday.
I introduced her to Dredd, and I knew she would love it, and now she watches it every year.
So
now she goes around wearing a helmet all the time.
There is a thing with Dredd, like the character Dredd in this, like, he's very proficient, yes, and he's good at his job, but he's also, he's overly cruel. And I think, like, we're supposed to think he's overly cruel, right? Because, like, eventually, like, I feel like the rookie, that, you know, like, spoilers, like, she ultimately is like, fuck this. Like, and I think that's because he's, like, he's kind of reveling in being a little,
that's Juno's friend.
What?
Uno?
Juno's friend.
Oh, he's calling her Juno. Oh, she's Juno's friend in the movie Juno.
Because that is literally her only other role, right, Ryan?
Is that it? Officer Anderson? Olivia Thirlby? She's been in other movies.
She's Juno's friend.
We also have Avon Barksdale from The Wire in this,
Hell
too.
Yeah! That's one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah, he's great. So I'm asking the more experienced judges out there, like, is that... we're supposed to be getting that, right? That he's like all.
It's not that he's cruel, because it's not that he's cruel. He's more like, if you think of, like, you know, I don't know if you guys have played Dungeons and Dragons Out in the Waste yet, but he's more like a lawful evil or lawful neutral paladin, where it's like the law itself is cruel, and so he doesn't bend on it, which is
he's by the book.
Which
he's
is
not cruel. He's just. Very by the book.
The law says you do this, and you are doing that thing. So
the
you're
law,
getting
like
it,
we, I think we can all agree the law is a bit extreme in this world.
Yes, the whole setup for the Judge Dredd property is like it's a satirization of a future dystopian world where like the police are authoritarian government. You know, it's like so it is supposed to be that. And real quick, that's kind of his arc in the movie. Is Dredd's arc is that he is so by the book, but then. At the end, right, Anderson says, it's a fail. I already lost my weapon, so I failed no matter what. By the book, that's what you're going to do. And then he says, it's a pass.
Like, is this, like, satirizing it, though?
It's supposed to be. And I think there's some moments where they do, but then it's like, actually, let's just have it be, like, because when they're in the Hall of Justice and Judge Dredd is first getting introduced to Anderson, the judge who is with them is like, you know, even she... every judge we meet is like, hey, the world's fucked up, right?
Yeah.
We're the only thing that's standing between law and chaos. And that's the thing too. I think this
That's
movie
what they say. That's what they say about themselves. I don't know. I'm skeptical.
But I have some stats here for you, actually, from the movie.
I'm wanting some revolution in Mega City 1.
But I think that's the idea, is this movie doesn't, and I do think that's part of the satirization, is the movie never messes with good and evil. They don't fuck with that. The judges never say we're good. They only ever talk about order and chaos. And order and chaos aren't, you know, they are opposed, but they are not opposed good and evil forces. They are opposed different. You can be evil and good and orderly, and you can be good and chaotic, right? Anderson letting the guy go is good and chaotic because she's doing something that's not by the law. He was helping the Mama clan, you know, with all their technology, but she was like
with the Mama clan.
He was
I can't stop laughing every time. That's a great name, the Mama clan. I love Mama.
Here's the stats. 12 serious crimes reported every minute, 17,000 per day. We can respond to around 6%. So that's probably why the law became the way that it is. Because it's like they don't.
You believe those stats?
Yes, I do, because I am a judge.
the flip side of that could also be true,
where'd
right?
You get which those is sources.
That's what the judge reports have been falsified. That's what Judge Dredd says.
Well, let me guess.
Right?
You got the report from Judge Dredd himself, huh?
Right, and so that's the thing, right? Is like the Hall of Justice, they could call everything a serious crime, and that justifies them staying in power. But that's the thing: this universe, this movie, all this exists in a world where the crime is insane, right? Everybody has guns, and everyone's doing drugs, and just blasting people in the road. Like,
I mean, there's also there's also a part of the movie where he says, how did this happen? And they have this really, that really amazing graphic where it shows the Mama clan taking over the entire building. It used to be the Coyote Kings.
The judged.
Who are so fucking cool. I mean, that's a Warriors gang if I've ever seen one.
And the Red Dragons were
the Red Dragons. Dragon. And it has that really cool graphic of showing the Mama clan taking over completely. And he was like, Dredd is like, how did this happen? And the guy's like, do you know how often we get a judge up in here? Yeah. So it is a very crime-ridden place. Yeah. I'm not saying, I mean, I obviously supported 100% because I'm a rookie. So if they don't want to do the time, they don't have to do the sauce.
I feel like that whole bit where he's like, why hasn't a judge come in here? He's like, do you know how often a judge comes here? They can only respond to 6% of calls.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So the world itself is a terrible dystopia, but there is no good faction. The good is the order, and that's not good, right?
It's just 800 million people
living in the ruins of the old world.
From Boston to D.C.
Yes, it's from Boston to D.C.
So anyways, all of that. They've just created a hyper fucked up world, and our heroes, our protagonists of the movies, they are anti-heroes. The judges aren't good people.
I think it's just like comparing it to a movie like RoboCop, which is tough to not compare. I'm like,
you have 10 seconds to comply. That line comes in this movie.
I feel like a little like I was not sure like what it was trying to say, like who we're supposed to root for. Like
who we're rooting for, Michael. It's crazy that you would even say that. His name's on the poster. His name's Dredd.
End of the movie, we have the rookie who we're following, who's like kind of our audience surrogate, literally like being like, fuck
Wait,
you.
She
like,
a rookie? I'm not.
She is a rookie, but she's a rookie.
She likes Dredd. I don't know
this
why.
This is her assessment. This whole day is like her,
I didn't know.
A day
I don't know.
Life.
If you said rookie, I only heard him say it a couple
they
times.
They call her rookie
Ryan's,
all the time.
Ryan's being sarcastic. Ryan's trying to get
him
the
I'm
joke.
I'm just being sarcastic.
I get what's going on.
It's tough because Ryan's being so quiet.
She like literally is like, it's like her first training day, right? And at the end of the movie, she's like rips her badge off and like.
Because she thinks she failed.
Yeah, she only does that because she thinks she fails.
Oh, is that? I thought she was like, I don't want to do this.
Anderson, to be clear, Anderson is his partner in the comics, in the Judge Dredd movie with Stallone. Like, Anderson and Dredd are together.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
Kind of the dynamic, is Dredd is by the book, and Anderson's more open to, like, not being
that. But she also can be more open to that because she's psychic. So she was able to tell that Rat Boy was a victim.
Yes.
When you're going in there, this is why I signed up. When you're going in there and you
Because she's a mutant.
And you only have a limited... amount of knowledge, and you're only you can only respond to 6% of crimes per day. Of course they became who they became, because they have to make these decisions in a split second.
It's an escalation on both sides. Yes. Like, for instance, there's no reason the police force should have guns that also can shoot high explosive rounds.
But he also, but I don't know, in this world, they do. He stunned the younger guys.
Yes,
he didn't shoot.
ISO cubes or body bags or juve cubes, doesn't matter to me.
While we're on that topic, real quick, let me give you a rundown of the capabilities of the lawgiver gun.
I did want to go back to this. I think that's probably why she did stay with him, Mike, because you're right. She is more lawful good and he's more lawful
neutral.
But so she probably stayed with him because she's probably like, he is.
I can fix him.
Maybe, but at the very least, he's not corruptible.
And he listens to her. He listens to her. He does respect her. He does listen to her. He does have subtle nuances of like, okay, I don't have to shoot them. Okay, I don't have to.
All right. Well, real quick, Rookie Janna, in case you're unaware, I'm about to mansplain to Janna, the cop in training, what the capabilities of her lawgiver are.
Classic.
We begin. I love that the first one we get is maybe the most crazy hot shot.
That one is
and is that hey, real
the,
quick,
the low key flamethrower.
Yeah.
No, that's the one. It shoots a single bullet, and then his face catches. Yeah. It's like shoots like a. It's kind of a callback to Cobra, and crime's a disease, and he's the cure. I'm just saying. Don't you guys?
We also get that vibe. High X, which I guess is just. I don't know. It's just really powerful gunshot, I suppose.
Explosive.
Okay. We know. I mean, I know from personal experience the stun setting.
You gotta have it.
Yeah, there's a stun setting normal, and then there's a stun setting Dave's balls setting.
Which is essentially high X for the stun setting.
Nut stun.
Yeah, Dave, you are sterile.
I assumed the nut stun setting was going to be gentler, like a little lower.
No. It blew his nuts
away.
I had to have
it. I'll tell you right
that's
now.
How he likes
my nuts right now look like that guy's caved in throat from the end of the movie.
It's pretty bad.
All right, guys, this was a good episode again.
If Dave wasn't sterile from all of the Mountain Dew waste, he is now.
Fridge had to have it personally made for her for Dave's nuts.
And then we also have
incendiary, which I guess is just kind of a flamethrower.
Yeah.
The incendiary is like white. It's the incendiary is like white phosphorus. It's like it's evil shit that they use. That's I think war crimes now, but like they use it in Vietnam.
It's
because they're fighting a war.
This isn't like a weapon, but it can be their ID safety system. If someone else uses their gun, it will explode in the guy's hand.
Yep.
And which we see with great effect in this movie.
I love it. It's so genius.
It's something that I love because it is like a thing where I feel like when I first saw this movie back when it came out, or even because I think, is there a similar thing in Judge Dredd that it's like,
well, that gets into a couple of the other ones that I have here. We see these in the Stallone Judge Dredd movie.
Go ahead.
Three left. We have rapid fire. We have two way split. And finally we have armor piercing.
Yeah, the armor piercing.
And we saw armor piercing and armor rapid fire. We saw rapid fire too. He uses it in the beginning in the car chase.
Oh, right. Okay.
But so the ID, the hand explode thing, right? It's one of those things where you're like, okay, how does, like Blade, right? Blade sword, when somebody who's not Blade uses it, it blows up and you're like, how does this not get out? How do people not go, oh, don't grab a judge's gun?
I had that thought. Yeah, it's like, oh, it's wanted to hold one of these.
If you ever get a judge's gun, you're fucking dead. That's what this, like, you don't, nobody lives through the experience of getting a judge's firearm to be like,
oh,
hey, that word spreads. Nobody grab a judge's gun. Nobody gets that. Everyone's
There's
like,
also 800 million people in the city.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, logically, it makes sense. No one knows that secret because if you get a judge's gun, you die immediately.
And it's possible that somebody could have seen that happen, but there's 800 million people in the city. We don't know how many gangs there are. We only know about four of them.
Honestly, there's probably 799 million gangs.
No, yeah, it's like there's 800 million people and 1 billion gangs.
To speak to the world a little bit, like we, you know, in the beginning, before we head into Peachtree's, we do get a little bit of world building. Like there appear to be quote-unquote normal people in this world. People just going about their day. Yeah, people going about their day with shopping carts. They have malls, apparently, like food courts. So there are normal people in this world just trying to get by, even as Judge or Rookie Anderson says, like, there's good people in some of these slums, you know?
Innocence. I've never seen RoboCop or the Stallone Dread or any of those. This is the only one I've ever seen like this.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised if you like this movie so much, you never watched the Judge Dread.
I find one thing I like and I stick to it and I just watch it every year over and over and over again. I do think that there are moments of satire in this, to go back to what you said earlier, Mike.
In the food court especially.
Food court, and something I noticed and I never noticed before. We don't know what would have happened if Judge Dredd had not started chasing the people in the van, right? They may not have ran over that person. They may not have caused a bunch of destruction. So it's a sad, you know, it is a little bit of, I think, tongue-in-cheek about these action movies where it's like, if you had just done nothing, there might have been less destruction.
Yeah, like, like, something I was definitely thinking about when I was saying, like, is he good? Like, the thing, like, they're basically, like, the beginning of the movie, there's, like, people doing drugs in a van, and he does the, like, the classic cop thing of, like, turning that into, like, the most violent situation.
Well,
like,
au contraire!
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
I noted this in the movie. He does not begin to shoot at them until they kill someone.
Right.
Right.
He's like, they took out an innocent, I'm taking him down.
Because, by the book, he is now able to escalate.
But he is chasing after him, and that's why they hit this person.
But
he doesn't shoot at him until they kill someone.
I'm saying, they chased him. Like, look, I went to the Apocalypse Law thing, and the cops, they don't chase anymore. You
right.
know, or the because it causes them to hit people.
Right.
You know?
To be clear,
the apocalypse law out there in the waste is very progressive. They're really big in restorative justice.
At the apocalypse courthouse, and they don't chase people anymore. Because
they don't want to kill innocents.
But
that's what I thought was interesting, because I just assumed going into this that he would have just, you know, I don't think we get a rundown of what their crimes are. They're
suspected for. I think they are suspected for, like, have already killed somebody.
But that's what was surprising to me, that he didn't immediately start to shoot at them. He waits, and that I thought that was surprising.
I don't know if that's true. I'm remembering all he says is that they are doing slow-mo. Which, to be fair,
they're under the influence.
Because
cool
of the
drug.
Way slow-mo works.
Is slow-mo a cool drug?
No.
It makes cool sparkles in 3D. I would say
slow-mo is a very cinematic drug, and we should be thankful that they have it.
Oh, yes. My thought was, alternate name for slow-mo, sparkle motion.
It's literally like, how can we make slow motion action sequence like a plot thing?
Yeah.
Like, how can we make it?
That's smart. That is a good use of something.
I'm not saying this is a criticism of the movie, don't worry. But I was like, what? What is? Yeah, I have multiple guns pointed in my head right now.
What are we doing?
This is not a criticism of the movie, but it is just something I was thinking about. Like, really, like, is slow-mo fun? Like, why would you be taking this?
I disagree, because from the times I've gotten high, that freaks me out when time distorts and slows down. I do not like that. Statute of limitations, Rookie Jana. That was a long time ago.
It's not.
You better watch yourself, Citizen Dave.
It's not just that it slows down. Obviously, it's associated with probably a momentary experience of euphoria, right? Because we see, like, oh, it all looks cool. It, like, everything, this grimy, nasty world becomes divine. Like, it becomes like a celestial realm, and you exist in it for, you know, a second that feels like, you know, 100 seconds. So it's like, it really gives you just the tiniest high, but it lasts in your mind a little bit longer. So it actually kind of really makes sense that it would exist in this fucked up dystopian world where it's like, you can't even get high and be out of it for a long time. Like, you spend all this money to get high, and it gives you just like 2 minutes of, oh, that was great. You know what I mean?
We don't know how long it lasts. I do think
Well, you should keep doing it.
I do think he was justified in chasing them down because of the nature of slow-mo. There is no way that you can operate a vehicle successfully on slow-mo.
But to be clear, the driver wasn't doing slow-mo.
I think he was.
He wasn't. He wasn't.
The guy in the back was.
We didn't see him doing it doesn't mean he wasn't on. But you're right. He wasn't driving somebody who
I think it's strictly, it's for cinematic thing.
I got to say, Rookie Anderson, have you ever seen Minority Report?
Rookie Gallo? Yes, I have.
Oh, sorry. You remind me of that scene when Tom Cruise is discussing like how the precog system works. He throws that ball and it falls on the ground, or it's about to, but Colin Farrell catches it, and you're like, you're the one telling Michael, like, yeah, but you knew the guy was on drugs, right? You knew he was driving erratically.
I mean, it is a little like you make bit the conclusion. Because Minority Report are things that haven't happened yet.
So
no, but you knew it was going to happen.
So
you make that conclusion. The driver was on drugs too, Ryan.
Regardless of whether Dredd was justified in chasing him, that is a part of the world that we're seeing, which is that the cops ruthlessly enforce, and therefore. Mm. Judge Dredd himself is not any more cruel than any other cop. It's just he's so by the book. He is so unbending. He is. And we see that Anderson tempers him, right? When they're going into peach trees, they get the call, hey, we're going into peach trees. And there's the homeless
man. She picks peach trees, which I do think is a good distinction, because I think that she chooses the homicide. She's like, I choose homicides, I choose peach trees. There's no way she doesn't know how dangerous peach trees. In the beginning monologue, they say that peach trees is like the
worst. One of the worst.
Right. But my point is just that they're going into the building. They see the homeless man and he's like, hey, vagrancy, that's 6 months. And then the rookie, you know, she's like, yeah, but doesn't this take priority? And he's like, God damn it, you're right. So get out of here,
well,
guy.
And can
like,
I just that's say, where I his leniency, you guys noticed.
If, what?
The guy's sign literally said, homeless junkie will debase self for credits.
Yes.
Hit a little close to home, huh, Citizen Dave?
Hey, what I do in my time out, in my off hours in the store is none of your business.
It is judge. Always the judge's business.
But anyways.
I am the judge, say, jury, and executioner.
I'll admit it. I've debased myself for Taco Bell before. Well, who wants to get into the plot?
I mean, it's about time, right? We're like 40 minutes in.
We talked about the car chase. That's the beginning.
Well, we'll get
into
it.
The plot is it's Die Hard. That's the plot.
No, the plot is it's the raid.
Yeah.
The raid plus Die Hard.
Yeah, all right. I guess I'll agree. And real quick, we also should call out, right? This movie is written by one Alex Garland.
Yeah.
The Beach's Own.
Well, I'm reading up right now, actually.
Oh, Ryan's doing some research on the Chattopedia.
Because, I mean, I knew that, and there's some things, but, like, apparently Carl Urban, like, says that he directed the movie, too.
I've heard that
Garland finished it.
Is that
And then, like, he kind of, which is interesting to hear. I'm trying to figure out, like, what happened. Like, if they...
And now's a perfect time to do the research for the episode.
That's I didn't know this. And I was looking up his thing.
So is this like a Tombstone situation? Like, Alex Garland directed
the
movie?
The writer and the producer. And the guy who directed it is a guy named, like, Pete Travis or something like that.
Yeah.
But you never hear the name Pete Travis, like, mentioned nowadays. And so I don't know if it's one of those things where it's like, oh, but his career didn't take off, so nobody remembers it. Whereas
he's
Alex
in the
Garland
ISO
did.
Cubes.
Well, it's kind of like, it's almost like they confirm it. And then someone is asking Alex Garland about Dredd 2. And he said it wasn't a bad experience and stuff. So I think there's just, it was a bad kind of picking the pieces up. And then also Carl Urban is like, Dredd should be part of Alex Garland's filmography instead of Ex Machina being his first movie.
Oh, wow.
He's like, it should be Dredd Ex Machina. Basically.
Honestly, that rules. Wow. That's very cool. Carl Urban's a real one.
Oh, fantastic. Carl Urban's
so
great.
I'm guessing,
has
like,
I don't know.
Pete Travis is like the Count of Monte Cristo. He's...
It doesn't sound like it was like a Rogue One situation, but like it sounds like where, you know, what's his name picked up for Gareth Edwards, because he still was part of the whole promotion of that movie.
Tony Gilroy.
Yeah, Gilroy. It sounds like it wasn't like a pickup thing. It sounds like it was like maybe the opposite. Like maybe they started and then Garland took over.
Right. Mm. Well, so, okay. Regardless. Yeah. There's interesting stuff about who actually went through and made the movie. That is very interesting. Because I know of it as being like an Alex Garland written movie. To hear that he put it together more also kind of makes sense, seeing some of the later stuff he does.
Because he talks about the reason I was bringing it up, because he has a quote about the slow-mo, is that, you know, it was made to be sort of like, you know, kind of replicate hallucinogenic kind of stuff, but also just a way to use the high-speed cameras.
And for 3D.
3D cameras, yeah.
We didn't really mention this
that
was a 3D movie.
Yeah, that was like something
that I... Because
there's
3Ds in the name. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Looking at the poster, just seeing like 3D, like this was something about the movie I didn't know going in, and I was like, as it's going, I'm like, oh, this is like a 2012 movie.
Well, this is right in that 3D. Era post Avatar where it's like 3D, 3D, 3D.
And I'll say, like, that was, I did not like that part of the movie. Like, it was like,
you weren't there, Mike. You weren't there in the cinemas there. In 2012.
I'll say, because I was like, I remember us, because we were waiting for something good after Avatar, and I remember walking. I think we all, maybe we went and saw this.
I think, David, I think the three of us saw this together, yeah. With probably John and Chad before he became the evil robot and before the wasteland.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we saw it, and I think we were just like, they finally did it. You know, it was like a cool way to do a 3D movie.
That moment when he throws, both moments in the movie, when you see when people are thrown off the top of the 200-story building and they're falling down, I remember that being so cool. Like the look of it.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of like moments where like stuff's coming at the kid. Like there's like the slow-mo scene where the guy's like shot in the cheek, and that's like,
oh yeah,
a lot of cheek shots really in this cool movie. Not in 3D. It's you know, sometimes you watch 3D movies and you're like, this looks like shit when you're not watching it in 3D, and I hate 3D.
Well,
I think I didn't even know it was made for 3D. It still plays very, very well not 3D.
Well, and I think that's a benefit of the slow-mo scenes, because the slow-mo scenes are so cool looking on their own without the 3D that it works both ways.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that they spent so long, like they spent a lot of time on the slow-mo scenes, like I was reading that too, like that was something that took, especially like Alex Garland was like really involved in trying to like, we got to get the slow-mo right.
And you can tell it does look right. It looks so on point. It's so good. You can absolutely
maybe we should
tell.
Do slow-mo. Maybe I'm coming around.
I'm doing it right now, man.
Don't say that in front of the judge.
10 years I so cute.
Dave, did you take slow-mo before you got stunned?
I did wish I had. Like no, dream? I'm glad I didn't, because then I'd be experiencing it for way longer.
So, anyways, Judge Dredd, we're introduced by him. He goes back to the Hall of Justice, right? This is all part of the intro. He chases down the van, kills all
the... see him without his helmet for like a second in the movie.
No!
But he's in the shadow. We just know that he's not wearing it. He's in the shadows. And then he puts it on. And then Janice sits next to you and tells you that it's the coolest helmet. And then he gets introduced to
Captain
Rookie
Cool
Anderson.
Like, he's one of the Captain Cool Toys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And can I say, to Carl Urban's credit, this was kind of a thing I remember when they were promoting the movie. I love that Carl Urban was like, I am never taking off this helmet. It's like, all right, I'll make a concession. You'll see me in shadow put the helmet on for like a second, and that's it. Because Dredd never takes off his helmet. I appreciate that as an actor, he's like, the character would not take off his helmet.
He is a top-tier 5-star man actor.
Oh, he's so good in this. The scowls that he gives, oh my God.
Yeah, I gotta imagine it's hard to act with just a quarter of your face, but man, he really fucking
he pulls
does
it off.
Yeah.
He does it with his mouth, like you said, David, he does it with his voice. Because, I mean, how much you can inflict talking like this, and he does it!
It's Peter Weller is RoboCop and Dredd. He is Dredd. Or Urban is Dredd. It's
Dredd
Urban
is
Dredd.
Urban.
Like all time great mouth acting.
Yeah, Dave's always talking about his favorite mouth actors. Carl Urban. Who is it for RoboCop? Debbie from
Peter
WWE
Weller.
Deep Throat. What were the other ones?
Yeah. Dave Stein
great
says, "Will debase myself for great mouth acting."
You know, I've been advocating this for years. There needs to be a mouth acting category in the Oscars.
Pitch it for the Kickies.
You know, I will.
Great. Okay, moving on.
No, I think that's great.
Audience, that's like an internal Oscars type thing that we run, in case you're wondering what the Kickies are.
Great. Now everyone's going to be banging down the door for the Kickies. Oh, wait. The listeners of the show are our 8 friends. Okay. Anyways, to the movie. Dredd meets Anderson.
1 year ISO cube for not respecting the listeners.
Juno's friend.
Okay, great. Dredd meets Anderson.
And Ryan has so little respect for Olivia Thirlby. She's barely an actor. She was in like 2 things.
I didn't realize she's an Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And that was recent.
So show some respect.
She's in 36 movies.
Cody, you're doing a great job telling the plot.
Yeah, you're looking it up. You're like, I have no idea what she said. She's in 2 things.
She's in a lot of just fully unknown movies. Oh, she's in The Darkest Hour. Everyone knows that. She's in Margaret. Everyone remembers Margaret.
That's true.
She's in some TV, too.
No one saw Margaret.
She's in United 93.
Yeah. That was her debut, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Michael's favorite movie.
She's in Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick?
Juno's friend. She's
She
Juno's
has
friend.
Her.
Juno's friend.
Ryan is just unflinching.
No, that's what we were like when we were watching the movie. I'm pretty sure the first
Ryan,
time.
Ryan,
oh, come
is
on,
like,
guys. She had a recurring role on the L Word, Generation Q.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Ryan's talking as if we're all
five
on slow-mo.
Juno's friend.
We're still on Ryan's Juno, right?
She also has a credit of Law and Order Organized Crime. Her role is TBA.
What you be announced? It's an ongoing thing. I hope it turned out well before the apocalypse hit.
She's keeping up the order, you know, and the law.
Juno's friend. She saw what you know unwanted teenage pregnancy can do to a world.
It was eventually wanted, I guess, you know, in the movie.
Yeah, eventually. All right, Ryan's always thinking about Juno.
Cody, you were trying to keep the episode going earlier.
Yeah, I'm not going to anymore. I'm done.
Okay,
I'm turning in my badge.
I'll step in then. So she picks peach trees because, you know, we don't know why, but it's the right choice. And so they get there and come to find out peach trees really needs them, not just for the three homicides that happened, but because
did we say peach tree is like one of these mega structures that is like in the city? It's like the city's like. It's interesting because there's not all megastructures, but there's lots of megastructures, and these are like these 200-story
like
buildings.
The megastructures of the new world on top of the old world.
Yeah.
It's 800 million people living in the ruins of the old world or in the shadows of the new one. The megastructures of the new world.
It is interesting that you mentioned that, Mike, because I did have a thought for the first time ever.
The first time you've ever had a thought?
Yeah, do you want to rephrase that?
For the first time ever watching the movie, my thought was... Where do the rich people live?
They probably have a good megastructure somewhere, they have like a walled off section of the city where it's like, I have a plantation home.
Or are they in space? Are they in Elysium?
They could
probably
be,
live like above the Hall of Justice or something.
Yeah, I think it's my memory of the Dreadiverse, of the Dread property. It is cities. They just live in the nice ones, like in the really nice penthouse suites of the nice buildings.
Maybe this is. I mean, I wasn't awake, but maybe this is a good time.
Juno's friend. Ryan, we can't read the fucking screen.
It's a white screen, Ryan. What are you showing us?
Look at my note that says Juno's friend on it. just because we're talking about it, and there's something that stuck out in this movie, is that, I watched this movie, and then and I'll get into my thoughts about later, but I felt like I wasn't totally filled. And so I had to go ahead, and I had never seen it. I went and rented Judge Dredd, and I watched this, too. I did my research, and I watched this movie, too.
Is this the Stallone one?
I almost did it last night. I almost watched
and
the other one.
In that movie, the top of the buildings have the rich people in, like, pools, and they're living a good life. And then everyone in that movie, the shit lives in the bottom of the cities, basically. So the buildings have gone up so similar to this, and that the top is where everyone the rich people
like
are.
That train movie where the rich people live at the front of the
Snowpiercer.
Because if you're at the top
of the building, you can get like the sky and stuff like that. But down in the bottom, it's all dark and dingy.
This is a backdoor Judge Dredd review too.
Okay, I can't wait for that.
And you prefer Judge Dredd to this one? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I'm just saying there's things I liked about.
I'll agree. Like as if we're doing a backdoor review on Judge Dredd, there are things that movie does fun as well. I overall, this is a better movie than Judge Dredd.
Damn right.
I kind of wish
that one has some fun.
This is my thoughts. I kind of wish if they both kind of came together, I think it'd be really, really good.
What do you want from Judge Dredd? Like what do you want to take from Judge Dredd to put into Dredd?
I think the kind of silly design is better in Judge Dredd. Judge Dredd, there's more over the top comic bookiness in.
It's
kind
of beautiful, like kind of amazing, especially for like '95 in this Judge Dredd movie. Yeah. I know this is like a low budget movie, and this is kind of the other way around. But and then I kind of liked, I mean, I hate the Rob Schneider character, which I don't. That seems like it's been placed in there for like some kind of weird comic.
Yeah, no, I think we all know Ryan is like a huge Rob Schneider fan. Like, just in general, loves the roles.
I love what he does now these days. It's kind of what
it, you're more a fan of the person, I think.
Really, like I remember, you were watching it. And you were texting me, and the one thing you were texting me when you were watching Judge Red was, I asked you, what do you think of Stallone's performance? You're like, do you mean Rob Schneider's friend? Yeah. No, I'm Sylvester Stallone.
No, I just think there's just things like Creed's in that, like, that are just like Creed's really friend? Great to look at. And even though,
calling
like,
Sylvester Stallone, Rob Schneider's friend.
Yeah. Like, that movie is kind of like, it feels like it's in pieces a little bit, where, like, I don't know. And
that might be one of the more genius jokes you've ever had.
It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That was a layered.
Yeah, you know, weirdly, levels. After getting shot in the nuts, I'm thinking way more clearly than I ever have before.
We should start every episode. We should start with shooting you in the nuts.
Dave needs to live a no nut life.
I
holy
got some
shit!
Salient points real, in this episode.
Real quick, no nut. Life. Really quick. I'm sorry to interrupt the episode, but can everyone take a look over Dave's back right shoulder? What the fuck's going on in your room, Dave? There is a office chair pointing in the corner of the room. Is that a cup chair? That's... Is that a Blair Witch chair? What is that, dude? Is that where
we're
you go when you've done a bad?
We're recording in our separate booths. Sometimes we do that. I watched a trade in my own separate ISO cube booth. That is my old chair. That's now a timeout chair. You'll notice it's right under the RoboCop poster. In one
that
of
is the
rooms.
Weirdest place you could have that chair.
It's fucked up, right? Isn't it fucking crazy?
Well, no, I didn't intentionally point it towards like the corner of the wall. That
you
there was
sure
no intention
didn't?
There.
It feels deliberate.
I have two office chairs I've upgraded. I put that one in the corner and it's just sort of discarded. But from your point of view, I can understand that it could look like a weird Blair Witch thing going on.
Dave doesn't ask about that. That's Mr.
I can't.
Snyder's
I don't think
chair.
I can record this. I think, like, I can't record while this chair is there. It's too creepy.
I knew I should have blurred my background.
My eyes are just keep being drawn to it. Doesn't matter what cool jokes Dave's making about Ryan. I'm just like, but what's that chair
look,
doing?
Just pay more attention to the pinball machine in the other corner under the Godzilla poster, okay?
Okay. Great. So, Dread is a movie.
Yeah.
So, it the reason they have to go to Peachtree's is because of three homicides, which happen because Mama, the Mama clan catches people dealing...
On their turf.
And so she's like, basically make an example of them, skin them, which is disgusting, obviously. You know what's interesting to me, Mike, is that you think that Dredd is cruel when you have somebody like Mama in the movie.
To me, like, it was very creepy because we see her right before that scene taking slow-mo. So she's high. And I love the way that when they ask her, like, what should we do with her? And she's just sort of like, she's leaning up against the window, just sort of looking out, still stoned, still in a euphoric state. And she's like, skin him. And then they're like, should we juice him up with some slow-mo? And she's just sort of looking out the window still in that state. She's like, sure. You know what I mean? The way that she delivers that line is menacing.
It's casually cruel.
Yes.
I really liked her in this movie. So it's Lena Headley.
She's great.
Cersei Lannister. And I haven't seen her in a lot of stuff besides Game of Thrones, and it was really fun to see her in this.
She's also
like,
the Queen of Sparta in 300. Come
she's
on.
Also Sarah Connor in Sarah Connor Chronicles.
You know, I've never seen 300. That's
wow.
Fuck.
All right, can we just all agree to kick Mike into the pit for that? I mean, what the fuck, Mike?
Is 300, is it? Okay, well, I'd watch it.
My favorite movie of all time.
What?
Oh, really? Is it really?
Number one movie.
All right, I'll watch it.
It's required viewing if you want to be a judge.
Comedy, 300, drama, action. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, they poster our eyeballs open and we're just watching it like that the whole time. But
yeah, she's Leonidas's friend.
Well, it was.
But it's actually.
I liked her. I liked her performance in this a lot, and it was like, I mean, it's funny because I haven't seen her in a lot of stuff, but I'm like, and this character is a little bit Cersei Lannister-esque, so it's not like she was like I was seeing her in a totally different gear, but like she's crushing this role. Like she's so good at this.
When did Game of Thrones start?
Game of Thrones starts 2011. So she's in this movie kind of hot off of that.
Or maybe like that.
I'm guessing they like filmed this before Game of Thrones.
You know it's good acting because Janna hates Mama with a passion.
Oh, I hate her. When Cody first had me watch this movie, she's one of those bad guys where you're just like, I loathe this person and it's a character. And I just I mean, I hate her more than I hate Sauron, because you hate Sauron, right?
Sauron?
But it's just like you don't have this deep loathing for Sauron.
Oh, right? Some might not, but I certainly do. That guy's
mad
news.
That's what makes her demise and her judgment so satisfying, yeah. And it's poetic because it comes back to the beginning of the movie, the inciting incident.
This movie has a lot of arcs that kind of, yeah. I'm just saying, it works. There's a lot of poetry, it rhymes.
She throws the three guys out that have been snitching on her business? Dealing on their turf. They get thrown over, and that's what the inciting incident. That's what brings Judge Dredd and Rookie Anderson to the case. Jumping to the end, he throws her overboard. He sticks her with slow-mo first. Mm-hmm. Same thing, poetic justice. Mm-hmm. And then I love that it's not the last line of the movie, but Judge Dredd's final response to this after she dies, he just goes...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, remember, so because he's like, he doesn't know if what he's going to do is working. So, okay, real fast, in one sentence, they fight their way up to the top of the building.
And it's so cool.
And that's what happens for 90
minutes.
That's the whole movie. Now, as he throws her over the edge, right, she's just put a dead man switch in her arm. So she's like, as soon as my heart stops, I'll die. This will send a signal to this whole building's going to blow up, right? Because she has the bomb set up. And he's like doing the calculus of, okay, but will it go through 100 feet of concrete? And so to guarantee that she fucking is alive and dying.
We're a kilometer up in the air.
Yeah.
200 stories high.
He puts, slow-mo in her and then throws it. And he doesn't know that it's going to work. So then she dies and he's just like, yeah. I nailed it.
Nailed it. Oh my God. That would have been so perfect if instead of saying yeah, Urban says, nailed it.
No, because that would have been the most unjudged.
That would have been a really funny end
of
the movie. The ending is like she's knocked off, falls down, and he's like, yeah, and then cut off because it just explodes.
Yeah, cut to outside the building.
I would say also
Judge Dredd credits.
So the movie, right? They're working their way up. They immediately catch. They go into a drug den. They shoot everybody. They catch Avon Barksdale. His name in this movie is.
Well, his name is
Kay.
Wood Harris.
His name is Kay.
And it's interesting. So
Wood Harris. I don't know. Do you mean Stringer Bell's friend?
Avon Barksdale. Stringer Bell is Avon Barksdale's friend.
I agree, but using the humor of Ryan that we've been using this
episode. Stringer Bell is nobody's friend, but this is not a Wire podcast. Okay, Stringer Bell is out for Stringer Bell. Anyway,
Stringer Bell is my friend. I love Stringer.
You love Stringer?
How dare you? Yeah. Okay, you know what? How many times have you seen it? That's not the point. This is not a Wire podcast anyway.
Not yet.
He calls attention to it. Dredd calls attention to it a little bit later on, and he says, "I'm thinking if we had executed you right away, we would have gotten to walk out of here. It's because we're taking you in for questioning that we're going to kill you." And it's true, because Mama says, "If they take him in for questioning, he will talk." And that's also, lends to the mystique of the judges too. Is it's like, if they get you. They know everything because we don't get to see the torture stuff or anything like that.
Because it's bad news. Because the judges are bad boys. I kind of, if you think about them more like the Spanish Inquisition, like if you think of them as like, hey, they are in power, but they are like, their methods are cruel. As Michael pointed out, is Judge Dredd particularly cool? Cruel? No more so than the rest. It's just the world is bad.
I take umbrage with the term cruel. I don't think that they are cruel. I think that they are... intense.
I think shooting somebody with a round that turns them on fire is cruel.
I don't think that that's cruelty. I think that it is.
This is Sparta.
I think that it is.
Ryan's on slow-mo. He just heard that we were talking about 300.
I think that it is forceful, and some could make a case for unnecessary force.
Excessive,
but I do not think that cruel is an apt term.
Okay. I think that's fair. It is excessive. But not
spoken like a true judge.
Yeah, Rookie Gal is making some points over here. Anyways,
1 year ISO cubes for putting parentheses over that.
They're called quotation marks. One year ISO cubes for not knowing your grammatical marks.
They don't teach us about grammar.
The thin blue line for judges.
It's actually a thick red line. That's their version.
Thick red line.
It's helmets. Well, when we're speaking about fridge, everything's thick, am I right?
Thick like stone, strong like tree. Anyways, so yes, they catch Kay, They're going to bring him in for questioning. Mama's like, well, we can't have that. So they take over control of the building.
And we don't yet know why she doesn't want him.
Right. We don't know yet. It's not yet been revealed that, hey, they're actually producing all of the drugs in the building as well. This is the...
They're the manufacturers.
This is the source.
Yeah. Everything in the city.
And this is when the movie takes the stakes and just skyrockets them. I love that she's just like, all right, I'm locking this building down. I'm going to have Domino Gleason initiate the war protocol. Blast doors come down. We are cut off. And I'm telling everyone in the building, you know I'm in charge. Mama's talking to you right now. There are two judges in here. I want them dead.
Yes.
If you help them, I will not only kill you, I will kill your next generation.
Yeah.
So everyone is out to get the judges. I love the stakes of this movie. It is Die Hard, I suppose. It is The Raid.
It's The Warriors. But in this, it's Warriors.
The Warriors. Yeah. But it's in this world where just... I love this movie. I don't know what else to say.
It's well, yeah, because so
hell yeah,
they, Dave. They do some things in this movie I think that are smart, because I think in other movies you'd be like, this is intense, whatever. But the movie sets up all these stipulations to be like, okay, now by the plot, you understand that if they are out, like, everyone's fair game for action.
Yeah.
You know, it's like every, like, if anybody's out, it's like now sides are going to be changing. When the two kids roll up and they're like, oh, we found them. Why did we have to find them? You don't even think that they're necessarily a part of the gang as much as they're like, well, we want to get paid, or we want to like advance our lives.
I think I wanted more of that. I wanted more of like the randos like trying to get involved. Like, because it's mostly we see it does that whole thing, but it's mostly the effect of that is still just the mama's gang that we're fighting.
There is the medvac guy.
Yeah, but he's just like, don't come in here.
But
like,
he doesn't.
I wanted to see more randos like trying to get Dredd.
Yeah, like you wanted to see somebody come around the corner with a frying pan and be like, I'm gonna get him.
Yeah, well, yeah. And just get blasted away.
Like, it's an ingenious, because they had a low budget. It's an ingenious way to build into the story to basically like, hey, we're gonna have a lot of empty hallways that we'll film in. Mm. We don't have a ton of extras. It's a great way to bake that into the story to make your low budget work for the movie.
Yeah.
But she doesn't offer money. So that's why randos aren't doing it.
Yeah.
She just says, if you help them, we will kill you and your next generation. Otherwise, stay out of our way.
Yeah,
that's why the hallways are empty. People are staying in their homes. They don't want anything to do with this shit. Yeah. but I think they do a great job, because it is just two judges. And I did have the thought. So it's Lawgiver, as we talked about, is an amazing weapon. It has like a laundry list of things it can do, but it's still restricted to little clips of ammo, as we see. He has, you know, it's just one. It's not like they walk in with backpacks of ammunition.
I mean, they have utility belts full of wonderful toys.
Well, they do, but only a handful of clips. So at a certain point in the movie, after they've killed a bunch of people in cool action sequences, Dredd's like, okay, it's just the two of us. We're against hundreds of these gang members or whatever. We need to go covert. We need to make our shots count, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that was another thought I had watching it this time, too, that I had never had before. We know why they can't use other judges' guns. He takes their ammunition, you know, the corrupted ones that you talked about earlier. He takes their ammunition, but they don't take their guns. We know why.
Yeah.
And we know why, you know, we know that other people can't use their guns. But I was thinking, if you're low on ammunition, why aren't you taking the regular guns?
I did have that thought. Why aren't they taking the guns to the gang members?
Maybe it's just the Lawbringer is so much better. It's like, I don't even want to bother like with this normal gun.
Well, and it is. It gets him all the way to the point where it's like, it would have solved all of his problems had he not had to all of a sudden start fighting other judges. And that's when he's like, fuck, now I'm really out of ammo. And like, I, you know, because everything else was working out for him. And later on, Rookie Anderson does use, a machine gun that she picks up off of guys.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. Like, you would kind of want to see them be like, okay, holster this thing and I'll just clear a hallway using their guns.
Yeah.
You know, go.
Or at least have it as backup for when you do run out.
I think that does speak to, here, you know, knowing that the movie was a little bit lower budget, some of those things where you're like, this movie could use a little bit more action. It could use a little bit more juice in certain moments. And some of those action scenes could be even bigger.
Well, it's interesting because this is, I love it. I love that this movie is only an hour and a half long. I mean, there's 5 minutes with credits. So technically, the movie itself, not taking credits, is literally 90 minutes.
The pacing's great. I love
the pacing's great. Movie, yeah. I think they did a great job with, like, you know, the slow-mo.
Wait, Ryan doesn't like the pacing.
I knew Ryan wouldn't, but the movie is only an hour and a half. And I think it does two things. Like, there's the slow-mo scenes. I think they do a good job of not overdoing it with those scenes. I don't think it's egregious. But it's kind of interesting. For a 90-minute movie that has has some key action sequences in there. I think it does two things. It keeps the runtime short, but it also kind of simultaneously makes the movie feel like, I don't want to say an ordeal, but a gauntlet, because that is what Judge Dredd and Rookie Anderson are going through. Mm-hmm. They're going through this long-ass night of going up to the top of this building to take out Mama. And I love that we see the passage of time. They go in during the day. They, at one point, midway through the movie, they're outside and it's dark out. Like,
on a half pipe with skaters? Ryan, I bet you like that.
It just makes it feel like they've been
He's nodding
it,
his
and
head.
I like that.
Thanks for this audio show, listeners. Ryan is nodding his head enthusiastically.
Ryan's really good at visual bits.
All right, well, let's just get into it. Ryan, why'd you hate this movie?
No, I don't. I don't hate it.
The pacing, specifically.
No. I mean, this is one, like, I love what you guys are all saying, and this is a movie I did
just
love a lot.
Judge Dredd so much more than this movie.
No. I like this
Let
movie
him talk.
A lot. This is one where I have to side. Usually I'm against this. I'm siding with Mike. This movie doesn't hold up for me, I think. I loved this when I saw it the first time. It just didn't hold up. And I think I was bored in the middle of the movie. And I think maybe it was action scenes or there's cool stuff I like. I like the setup and like it's a little straightforward, but it's kind of fun still in that way. But like, yeah, just kind of like, it was just the same thing. You're talking about a gauntlet. It was just like there was nothing different. It's just going up and another thing and another thing. And there's
I think that like comparing it to Die Hard, I think like Die Hard is like good. Does such a good job of like making him feel like he's getting messed up as the movie's going along and like
twists and turns and stuff. You know.
Yeah, like, and there's like stuff like he's been through it, and I feel like this is more just like it's more linear. Like
you don't get that. I totally agree with you, Ryan. I also really like the idea of that you saying I don't usually agree with Mike, like as if Mike's positions are normally the opposite of yours. Not like
yeah,
I agree with Mike
listen,
on
guys,
this instance.
I hate no, I'm like this. I'm like something I we all love.
I hate to agree with Mike. You know I hate it. It's very funny.
I think so. So basically, Ryan is Roger Ebert, and Mike is Gene Siskel.
Yeah, perfect.
I am not Gene Siskel.
And because you said it like that, you're
Siskel.
Exactly
I'll be
Gene Siskel.
Siskel.
All
be,
right.
I like
so,
that.
Anyways. I do think I agree with you that in the middle there are like one or two too many versions of we're in a hallway and there's bad guys with
guns. Yeah, I know we're talking about low budget stuff, but I think you're feeling it. I think I know they're supposed to be like, you know, we're and I commend them for making what they do, but I think you start feeling it, especially.
I feel that. I hear you. I wonder, you know, I would be interested to dig deeper and hear about like what exactly was going on behind the scenes that like picked up the pieces, because maybe that was the thing where it's like, hey, we needed 10 more minutes of action and it was done in reshoots or something. Who knows? Mm. But because the reason I'm saying this in particular is because I remember when it was coming out and people were like, this is like The Raid. You watch The Raid and there's so many interesting action scenes because they're like, it's a lot of, you know, fist fights and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, we're going to just bust through walls. We're going to have a fight inside of an apartment instead of in a hallway. And sometimes that's all you need to just like, hey, instead of being out in the hallway shooting everybody up, they blast into an apartment and then they just demolish this apartment with gunfire or fighting. And similarly, then you could also see the judges taking some more hits. You could see, you know, he has to patch himself earlier in the movie, or they run out of ammo in one of their
like
lawbringers earlier.
Maybe they could have had that scene when they bring out that giant chain gun a little sooner and just literally just destroy an entire floor of this building.
I like the beginning and end.
Judges unhurt, unscathed. Yeah.
I like my heroes unscathed.
Yeah, it's so just they, like you need know, like okay, like the Judge Dredd. Sorry, Rookie. Like
1 year ISO cubes for interrupting
like,
a judge.
Like I don't think this movie's good either. Really, I mean, good as well, but it has a big robot he fights. You know, like there's like, I knew you'd love that
fucked up gang. I knew it. When we were talking about things you might have liked, you're like, I didn't like Rob Schneider. I'm like, but I bet he loved the fucking robot, man.
That robot was so fun and stuff and looked good, I thought.
Yeah.
Because it's so fun, Cody.
I agree. It is different. And like when you see the other gang, like you almost would want Mama to have not taken over the tower already before the movie, because then you could have had like the Warriors, other gangs fighting them.
Look at this guy. Look at this.
But why would
guy.
The other gangs fight them for Mama?
That's a puppet.
Yeah,
it looks. It's amazing. It's incredible.
That's their. That's look at real quickly. Ryan Stabs, Olivia Thirlby, Juno, Dredd, Judge Dredd robot, the combat robot from Judge Dredd. Looks like
he is
Mata.
So fixated on Juno.
Ryan's on a Bionicle Lego subreddit. The Chanopedia, the chat internet is crazy. Meanwhile, Dave's over here with his fucking Blair Witch chair. All right.
All right, Ryan, I'm sentencing you to the Blair Witch chair.
I'm just saying, okay, so I'm just saying, like, down. That middle, I was sort of just like, and I think this one, like, I think with there's a lot of the cool 3D stuff, and I think that stuff did a lot of heavy lifting the first time I saw the movie.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
And I think the good, like, 45 minutes in the middle, I was sort of like, I was kind of checked out a little bit.
But I think for me, maybe it's because the characterization and the characters' interactions are so good. I don't miss the action. I don't like Die Hard. I hate Die Hard.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I'm having a
realization. He gets hurt way too much. What kind of hero is he?
Hate Die Hard.
I'm having a realization now that maybe one reason that I prefer Dredd and don't like Die Hard is because he's kind of by himself a lot in Die Hard. But here you get the character interaction, so I'm not missing the action.
Well, in Die Hard, he gets to talk with his friend Cop.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I got my friend Al on the outside.
He's got Al on the outside.
They're talking over a phone or whatever. Here, you have two judges together. The judges are facing it together. So I think for me, the characterizations and the character interactions
make more of the Frodo-Sam dynamic.
All right, who's Frodo and who's Sam?
Well, Dredd is Frodo, the rookie is Sam.
You're nailing on something that I think the movie does a good job of doing, because Dredd himself is such a... You could see him as a one-dimensional character. Yeah. There's not a lot to him.
He's a static character for the most part.
Yes, he's a static character, and I think you mentioned arcs earlier, Cody. I think this movie does a good job of giving Dredd as much of an arc as a character like him could have. Mm. And if you look at the Chattopedia, Alex Garland like describes Dredd as like he has like a character arc. I'm paraphrasing. It's like a glacier. It's going to move a little bit. You know what I mean? You're not going to get much movement out of him. And I like that those scenes like so. As we mentioned, Mama puts this thing out, like, everyone in the building, I want them dead. And so you have all these people coming, and one of the first waves of people that come at him, there's a moment when, like, Rookie Anderson has a gun on this guy. He's not dead yet. And Judge Dredd's like, what are you waiting for? Kill him. Like, judgment for trying to kill a judge is death. And she hesitates, but then she kills him. And later on in the movie, as they're trying to, you know, be covert, she ends up running into the wife of the guy that she... The brains that he blew it, that she blew out, and she has a moment of remorse. She's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." She doesn't say sorry, but you can know internally. She's like,
to,
"Oh God,
but
I killed this guy's killed her husband." And there's a great moment in the elevator as she's sort of thinking about this, and the camera pans over to Dredd, and he doesn't say anything, but you could tell Dredd is just like, you know what I mean? Like, it's this moment of character building when he's just like, "You did the right thing." He doesn't say this, but I don't know. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah. He is a very good mentor for a judge. He is a very dynamic character for a static character.
He's basically recognizing, like, you shouldn't feel, like, I imagine he's just like, you shouldn't feel remorse. I realize that's what you're going through right now, but you should not feel remorse right now.
I'll say, though, like, again, like, this movie just begs comparisons to RoboCop. And maybe, I don't know, there's just something about the way Peter Weller plays RoboCop where I feel like it has a lot more... Even though it's similarly doing so little, I felt like there was a lot more there. And I don't know, maybe it's unfair to this movie that I just I'm like...
And specifically because while RoboCop is a robot cop, half robot, half cop.
Interesting, robot, interesting, Cody. I think I know, I'll stay with you. I think
but
I got this.
Before he became robot cop, he was human cop. And that character wanted, like...
Love that movie.
He wanted to be a good man, not necessarily a fucking force of law. And so that's why Murphy gets to shine through more in those ways. Whereas Judge Dredd is the law, not a good man, a lawful man.
And
that is different because...
For a lawful man, he is a good man.
Well...
Well, and I like, to speak more to the character, I like that he is ever so slightly loosened a little bit throughout the movie. Like, their interactions slightly change throughout the movie. Like, they get a little bit more, like, buddy cop dynamic where...
He makes
jokes!
You know what I mean? He makes jokes!
Well, like later on in the movie, like, it's like, all right, the situation's turning in our favor a little more. Like, we've gotten outside, we got the backup coming, this and that. And she's just like, well, maybe we should hide and wait for backup to come. And he doesn't say anything. And she's like... Wrong judgment or whatever, and he's just like, you're the mind reader. Like, they have a little... Like,
yeah.
I feel like earlier in the movie, he would have been like, no, you misjudged. Like, you're not going to make it. You know what I mean? You assess the situation incorrectly. But they loosen up a little bit, and I like that just slightly... picking away at his character and becoming a little more loose with his partner.
I gotta stick up for my boy here. There was not a point in the movie in time ever where he said that she was wrong or that she did the wrong assessment.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, because earlier in the movie, as they're about to go out into their day, he's like, if what does he say? Like, if you judge a situation incorrectly, automatic fail or something along those lines. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it's like, if you judge a situation correctly. The delivery on that was, like, funny, because he was like, automatic fail. If you remember that, automatic fail.
A rookie judge on assessment is likely to be involved in armed combat. 1-5 don't survive the first day. You may be required to carry out on-the-spot executions of convicted felons.
Yes, sir.
Incorrect sentencing is an automatic fail. Disobeying a direct order from your assessment officer is an automatic fail. Losing your primary weapon or having it taken from you is an automatic fail.
Yes, sir.
You ready, rookie?
I am.
Your assessment starts now.
If you don't throw your trash in the trash can, automatic fail.
It reminded me, it is the same delivery of the South Park episode where
incorrect
they're like talking, doing like
incorrect
skiing.
Yes.
Like if you do pizza and you're supposed to do french fries, you're gonna have a bad time.
But he never, he does allow for her to, I think the incorrect sentencing is less like you made the wrong call and it's more you didn't, if she hadn't shot that guy when he tried to kill them, that would have been an incorrect sentencing. Not making the wrong call.
I think it's even if you say ISO cube 6 months and he's like, by the books, it's minimum a year. That's incorrect sentencing because he is so by the book. That is him.
Yeah.
But
this is not mis-sentencing. This is mishandling of the situation.
Well, the only reason that I'm making that distinction is because I want to be fair to the fact that I do think that he is an incredibly good mentor. I think that he does not question her. He lets her make decisions.
He's an ally. Let's say it.
I'm just imagining
don't
you
tell
like
me,
a,
tell Central.
Imagining you in like a job training situation. Like, okay, before we get started, I want to see an example of effective mentorship in threat.
I love mentoring. Mentoring is one of my favorite parts of my job, and I really do strive to let them make their decision, even if it's not what I would do. I'm an insurance underwriter, so there's a lot of nuance.
Doing both at the same time, in which case, that's impressive, Judge.
No, this is actually a low-key interview for you to work at the store, so this is good. This
one
is a working interview.
One of the best parts about mine and Cody's dynamic with Dave and relationship with Dave is that Dave is not in charge of us.
Yeah, we would hate to be employees of Dave.
Trust me, you would.
But think of all the benefits, the free rentals, the free room and board.
I don't get free room and board or free rentals.
Yeah, you live in the store. What are you talking about?
It comes out of his paycheck.
Yeah, I had to go to a competing store to get Judge Dredd.
Dave is counting Jackie living in the vents as free room and board.
Also, Dave, you know, it is, speaking of people whose, you know, arcs move at glacial speed, it is nice that David is letting Ryan wear another movie store shirt. You know, you usually, he would be like, hey, you can't advertise for the competition.
He'd say,
like this.
1 year ISO cube.
1 year in my cuck chair.
Well, see, I want to make him make those wrong decisions. You know what I mean?
That's
he needs
good
to
mentorship.
Learn.
Yeah,
Dave
you're
is also
right.
A great mentor.
Aren't we the last video store on Earth?
I thought so, but Dave.
Well, see, here's the thing. All these other gangs keep rising up to challenge us.
Are we the last?
We got to be mama here. We got to squash that shit out.
There's actually tons of video stores, and they're all
way
better than ours. All
right, bring in the other judges. Dave, this has been a sting. You're arrested. Life in ISO cubes.
What the fuck were we talking about?
I don't even remember. Oh, we were talking about like the characterization of Dredd.
Mm. All right, good. Anything else? What else do we want to talk about it?
Can we say, we talk about the satirization in play. Like, one of my favorite moments from this movie is right in the beginning when they have that scene in the food court of this mall and he uses the hot shot and he melts the guy's head. There's a great scene afterward where we get just like, this is such a grim world because you got these dead bodies on this meat wagon, carting them out literally. And then you see like this guy, like, you know, just going about his day, like cleaning up the blood. And you just see like a dead body and it cuts right before the you know, the sweeper thing's about to just bump yep. this dead body in the ground. Yeah. And meanwhile, as this is happening, you just hear this calm, serene voice on the PA.
Business as usual.
Business as usual.
Yeah.
Like, what the only thing that would have made it even better is if, like people had put, like, you know, those, like, yellow caution things. Be careful of slipping. You might slip in this the guy's blood.
Yeah. Yeah. They should have been, like, opened it up and, like, people are just hanging out right next to, like, the dead body.
Didn't give a shit. real quick, that's a good point. They should have actually, because you don't see the innocence, like, perspective and
that might have been though. To be fair, that's probably a budget thing, right?
They don't have a budget thing. Yeah, you know, honestly, it's all a budget thing. I think. I do want to hear more from Ryan and Michael, because I know that these two guys, you know, they probably think this movie's only good if you're 15, 25, maybe watching it in 3D high and then going to Red Robin afterwards. I just don't know what they think about it.
And Mike, have you been to Red Robin?
I just thought it would be a funny joke. Ryan on Chatterboxed. Said this movie was good when you're 25 high and going to Red Robin afterwards. And it sounded like maybe he had that experience.
I think I did. I mean, it happened a lot. I wouldn't say that happened a lot. So I think that was probably the
I feel like you are unfairly comparing this movie. You're like putting this movie in the same bracket as something like Boondock Saints. Like,
no,
this is just
no,
some horse
no,
shit
no,
that
no,
you
no.
watch when you're a kid that isn't good.
No,
I'm
saying
Boondock Saints is when you're high and 15.
Boondock Saints is good. Also, Mike, I thought you liked Dredd. Did you not like it?
I didn't hate it. I was
you don't
of
agree
like,
with its politics.
I was kind of middle of the road and confused by it. Like, I don't I'd be open to watching it again sometime, but I think like I kind of with Ryan where like there's a it was like I'm seeing the same thing kind of a lot. I think it was like on paper cooler than it was sometimes with some of the action sequence. Like, I don't know. I didn't particularly love the way the action was done, and for a movie that does a lot of slow-mo, I didn't really like it. The slow-mo stuff. Mm. And the most negative stuff I felt was like the tone, and I was kind of like, what am I like trying to, is this like, am I supposed to like, is this like Fox News? Like, is this like, am I supposed to be like rooting for the cops to get tanks? Like, you know, a bit is.
I have a feeling, Mike, that you might actually enjoy Judge Dredd more than this movie. Because I will give points to Judge Dredd. And, you know, that was the budget for Judge Dredd, if I'm not mistaken, much higher than the budget for this movie. So that allows that movie to have a lot more variation.
And also
in, like,
for
the
time, his is everything in the book. There's computer. There's puppetry,
practical effects,
there's
puppets.
Matte paintings and just like
I've
all
seen
that
seeing
stuff.
Like the seeing the set. I have seen the set design in the first Judge Dredd, and I feel like I like the mega city more there. I mean, that's like subjective, but yeah, I don't know. I said, I keep going back to RoboCop where this was like so similar, and I was just like, God, RoboCop is so good. Like, and it felt like. I don't know. It felt like knowing it's Alex Garland too. It felt like this is sort of like in between like his later directing stuff, but also I was getting some like the beach vibes with some of the dialogue and like the narration and stuff, which I did not like the beach. But yeah, I don't know. I'm like right down the middle with it. I don't know if I like it or dislike it. I'm conflicted about it. There's stuff I like. There's stuff I don't like.
It's tough when a reasonable point of comparison for the movie, it does make sense to compare this to RoboCop. It is tough when RoboCop is such an amazing movie.
This movie doesn't have to be as good as RoboCop to be good.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies where it's like the example of the genre is such a perfect one that it draws that comparison and it'll never live up to it.
Hey, I have a question. If RoboCop is so good, why'd you show me Dredd? Boom, roasted.
I knew you would like Dredd. I'm sure you would like RoboCop, but was I fucking wrong for showing you Dredd?
Rookie,
no,
rookie,
I'm,
you, have
I'm
you
saying
not seen,
that's support for being a better movie.
Have you never seen RoboCop?
No.
You should watch RoboCop.
I have Dredd. What do I need RoboCop?
You can watch them both. They're both good. You don't have to pick
one
of
the other.
We
don't need RoboCop. We got Dredd at home.
No, RoboCop is a goddamn delight. I truly really think you would enjoy RoboCop.
I do think that. So that was my way of saying you showed your lover Dread, not RoboCop. So Dread obviously is the better movie then.
No.
You don't want to get pulled into that whole Team Murphy, Team Dread debate.
This is going to be tough for you, Cody. Like, if she watches RoboCop and doesn't like it, she's going to be pissed. And if she watches RoboCop and loves it, she's going to be pissed that you didn't show her RoboCop earlier.
No, there's no win.
Actually, you can't watch RoboCop.
This is a frequent hill I have to die on.
Oh, cool. You can never watch RoboCop. Women only have two dimensions. They're either pissed because you proved them wrong, or they're pissed because they don't want to be right.
Janet, you said it. Someone else say it.
Janet, it's not a woman thing. It's a you thing. Mike knows you. You're always pissed. You're always sentencing people to ISO cubes.
Running hot.
Well, let's talk about. Can we talk?
Hold on. Wait, Ryan was about to speak.
Ryan didn't really get into his business.
Well, I just want to say, like, it's. I don't think it's a like a Boondock Saint thing or something like that.
It's not Boondock.
Damn right.
Boondock Saints is good. Okay, let me think another one.
I don't know. What's a something like bro movie kind of thing? Because I think this is better than that.
Fight.
I don't know. No, Fight Club's.
I know Fight Club's awesome. That was a joke.
I do like Fight Club. I think it's like
we all like Fight Club. We're all pro
like,
Fight Club.
I don't know.
There's people that didn't see Avatar in theaters and like I don't get it, like kind of thing, you know. And so like I think it's one of those things like it's more of like an event thing. Like I had more of like when we came out of there, we were glowing. We're like that was so fun. I'm a fan of good 3D. I like 3D stuff and everything.
Yeah.
And so it was like more of the ride, and I think like that's what I was going on. And then at home. I don't think I've watched it since seeing it in theaters. And so I just think I'm having that kind of like, the ride isn't as good as I remember it, like kind of thing, you know?
Yeah,
and,
but I do think, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think it plays absolutely better in a theater. It was nice to watch a movie where like, this is a simple thing that was in theaters. It was this, you know what I mean? Like, it's nice to have, what do you call them, like programmers or whatever. Like it's a movie that fits a specific need. It didn't have to be a thing that appeals to everyone ever. Like it had its audience. It was narrow. It was right down the middle for it. And I think it like, you know, instead of a home run, it's, you know, it's an on base or whatever.
I want to say something real quick that I didn't mention. And this is probably a good time to bring it up. We're talking about the theater experience. I was able to watch this with my like fancy sound system that had all the stuff. And
how does my ISO cube not as good as yours?
I was up in the vents with Jackie, and she's got it really tricked up up there in the vents. But like the gunshots, you know, which is something like Die Hard. Again, I was thinking of Die Hard a lot during this movie too. And Die Hard has the best sound effects. Some of the best sound effects, you know, for guns and stuff. This movie had the most like intense gun sound effects I think I've heard that I can remember. Like every gunshot was like literally like shaking like the vents. Like it was certainly the most intense gunshots I have heard on that sound system ever.
Ryan, I gotta say, if you had watched this movie not on your TV DVD combo, you might have enjoyed it a little more.
It was like it was the Shrek TV DVD combo with like the one. It was mono, like just DVD one built-in speaker.
Yep, you're probably right.
You weren't getting the full experience.
No, I just think it has. Like, I think Cody's right. Like, it's a very. Like, I think it is. I think it's a very 80s, 90s B-movie-esque kind of thing. I think it has that vibe, like especially right at the beginning. I think just with even the characters, the way they're talking, it has a very, this feels like it's a negative, but it feels like a movie that would have been, like, on tape that we would have watched, like, you know, a long time ago, you know, would have been something people rented a lot. And, like, oh, that movie's pretty cool.
In a world where RoboCop doesn't exist, Dread is that movie for like anybody.
I feel like if you haven't seen RoboCop, this is what you would think RoboCop.
Well, and also like if Dread like was a, I mean, I know it's a. How long was that? Has that character been around? Like since 70s or 80s or something?
Since Dread's been along for a long time. Yeah,
like longer than that probably. Or
like I think it was an 80s thing.
A fun little Easter egg. We're talking about RoboCop. There's a scene. It's RoboCop's introduction to crime fighting. When the guy walks into the liquor store, he walks by a thing of comics. He grabs a Judge Dredd comic from the shelf.
He first appeared in 1977.
Wow,
that's the year Star Wars came out.
It's Star Wars friend.
Star Wars friend. And so I think like it's.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I think it would have been, like, I think you're right that if you'd never seen RoboCop, you would think this is what it is and stuff. And, like, and I think I'm very attached to RoboCop also. So it's, especially since this movie came
RoboCop's
out.
RoboCop's my friend.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just.
I think there's things. I think
you guys have just, RoboCop and this is my RoboCop. And so I don't need RoboCop.
Like, no, but you should still watch RoboCop.
Like, I hate that this is like, you know, because it's been deranged. Like, people say it's like bullshit. But, like, in the Save the Cat written book, the middle chunk of the movie is fun in games, you know, about, mm-hmm. and I feel like they're not as fun in the games and aren't as fun in the middle mm-hmm. of the movie. And I think it lost me a little bit.
I disagree because I think the fun in games that we get a little bit of variation in the middle. No one has brought up. We get some mind games.
That's fun. That's a good change. You're right.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's a little variation. We haven't really. I don't know if we've mentioned.
It feels a little Paul W.S. Anderson a little bit, but I don't know why. But
I don't know if we mentioned it, but Rookie Anderson is a mutant. She has psychic powers, so much so that's the whole reason that the judge, you know, the head judge is like, I know she failed her initial test by 3 points, but her psychic abilities are so strong, we think she'd be an asset to the team.
Which, real quick, I love that they're like, she's an asset to the team because we don't have laws about not being able to read people's minds, so we can really fucking, like, you know, this is a legal search.
Bring
and
in the
seizure,
mutants.
This is our minority report. We got to get on this shit.
Yeah, before the Hall of Justice outlaws mutants, we got to use them.
Well, and it's also, again, I love the world building that this does without just being exposition dump, because there are moments throughout the movie where mutants are brought up.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I don't remember his name, the guy from The Wire is like, oh, usually mutants have like three arms or some shit.
His name is K. It's literally a letter.
I've never seen
the movie
or the show.
In the movie, in Dread, his name is K, yes.
Okay, so K basically is like, lets the audience know mutants typically have like three arms and are weirdos and stuff. She's like the rare exception, and she is a pure psychic, and she uses it throughout the movie. It's how she realizes that the lady who lets them hide in, well, she doesn't let them. They kind of barge in, but it's how she realizes that her husband is the guy she, you know, the guy's brain.
No, she realizes that they have a baby in the other room. Yeah. She sees the picture of them. Yeah. I've talked about it before on this show. I'll talk about it again. I love when there's any movie that's sci-fi or set in the future in any way, and they're just like, and people are psychic now. And they do it in Looper, it's the fucking best.
Dune.
They do it in Dune, it's the best. It's just, if a movie exists in the future, we assume, humanity has assumed that when we evolve, we'll start being able to use our fucking minds for crazy stuff, and I'm here for it.
Firefly Serenity, watch it.
You're either going to, in the future, we're either going to become psychics, or we're going to become giant babies that float in orbit.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to the mind games, I think this is a fun variation in the middle of the movie that it does, and it's done well. And again, I like the slow-mo. I don't think they use it too much. We get just enough. We get this cool mind game sequence where her and Kay are having this back and forth. I love the line where he's just like, oh, you're going to play mind games with me? Well, I'm going to outdo you because I'm more fucked up than you. But then she turns it around on him. And I love that it's like, oh, is he going to go through this whole thing of mind games? No. It cuts, and it just shows him like huddled on the ground in his urine, like he has pissed himself because she has broken him.
Of course, Dave likes the urine scene.
But I think it's a good bit of variation that the movie does. And again, I like that the movie simultaneously is an hour and a half long. It's short, but like it does. And maybe this is to Ryan's point. He thinks it's a bit too long, but I kind of like that.
No, it's long. I just think it loses me a little bit.
Well, pacing. But I like that it also simultaneously makes the film feel like a gauntlet. Like you're going through it with Dredd and Anderson.
Yeah.
Well, and I would also like to say, just to touch on that a little bit more, Dave, I think it's very important that we bring up the fact that Anderson is a woman. She is a little woman. And there's one other female.
Juno's friend, little woman.
There's one other female judge, but, you know, it does kind of subvert expectation. I don't know about RoboCop or Judge Dredd, but it does kind of
RoboCop has a woman partner.
Okay. It does kind of subvert. I wasn't saying that because it didn't. I was being.
I know. I'm just like.
I don't know.
I'm just saying it because it's like, and that's exactly in that movie too. That's all fucking.
So, her name is Lewis. Remember the name.
It's Murphy's friend. Get over it.
Oh, you remember Lewis? Classic, you can't remember
this is classic second wave feminism that we don't have to engage in. Like, we can Judge Dredd and RoboCop can both be good. Yes. We don't have to put one down to lift the other up.
I wasn't putting it down. I was saying I don't know. I've never seen them. I've already established I've never seen them. I was saying it in that voice to, obviously, to, failing to stop you guys from comparing him to RoboCop and Judge Dredd. So, she is a little woman, and she doesn't have her helmet because it can interfere with her psychic abilities. So there is a little bit of a tension of, like, oh, God, like, something is going to happen
She's hot. We need to take that helmet off. We can't have
the helmet on the girl. We gotta say it.
We're an hour and 27 minutes in the show. She's hot. She's a babe. She's a smoke show.
So
she's running that risk of getting a bullet through the cheek.
Right. Which cheek, Dave? So she is a little woman, right? And it's like there is that tension of something is going to happen to her because she's not wearing her helmet. I happen to be glad that that tension does not come through, and nothing happens to her. So Judge Dredd does get injured.
Well, she gets mind raped, kind of.
But physically.
And he attempts it, and she's like, "That doesn't even fucking bother me, dude. You think that that would bother?" I agree. This is a good point. Is that she's never actually victimized in the movie, despite being like the movie being like the world's gonna make you. They're gonna victimize you. They're gonna do these things. What Kay tries to be like, "Oh, I'm fucked up, so I'm gonna mind rape you," and she's like, "Dude, you're nothing. You got nothing. Watch this," and then fucks him over. And then even at the end, right, she gets taken up with the Mama clan, and they're like, "Oh, you don't want to know what they're gonna do to a little girl like you." And then Mama's like,
"A little woman,
little woman." And then Mama's like, "No, we have to, you know, we can't do any of that. We got to just shoot her up and then throw her in a drug den." That goes over it. So yeah,
not only does it resonate with me because she brings a strength to it. So talking about the mind games, not only is she psychic, so it helps in a passive way. She can say, "This person is a victim. I can help them. This person is going to help us. I can help them." But it also gives her an active way to use her psychicness to not only help herself, but help on the job. So she can actively get into people's minds and, you know, work that way. So she is just as strong as Dredd. She's just strong mentally in a psychic way.
What if in the middle act we see her mind gamed one of the gang members like around a corner and then they all shoot each other? Wouldn't that be cool?
There are parts of it where I'm like, is she gonna make them shoot each other? And then she doesn't. Yeah. But there's also, you know, we haven't touched on the fact that she is a woman. But we haven't, you know, really explored the fact that she is a woman. She is very cruel. She is the head of this giant
organization. She's biting dicks off.
Feminizing him with the teeth.
She, you know, I do think there is a lot to be said for this movie about how it treats its women characters too. And the head judge is a woman.
You're right. This movie's woke.
It is amazing. It's incredible.
Right from the beginning, Judge Dredd, as in his narration, he's like, "The men and women of the halls of justice."
True.
In the Stallone one, they do the locker room, men and women in the same locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there is another.
Which is a callback to Paul Verhoeven's RoboCop.
Well, here's the thing.
The unisex.
Was RoboCop the design
thing?
Off of, did he like kind of rip off Judge Dredd?
For Judge Dredd? Honestly, maybe.
And I will say,
might have done that.
As a woman,
it was definitely an inspiration.
I really appreciate the fact that they did not victimize her, because there's so many movies coming out, especially these days. I mean, I called it within a minute of Cody talking about that movie where that lady is a robot and she kills that guy.
Companion.
I called it within a minute of Cody explaining Companion to me. I was like, oh, and I guess he probably tries to rape her, huh? Because that's what happens a lot of the time to these women characters who are like main characters or partially main characters in movies, is they find some way to sexually assault them or whatever, and, you know, show their strength that way or whatever. And this movie doesn't do that, and I really, really appreciate that.
To Jack Quaid, he doesn't like to refer to her as a fuckbot, Gina, okay?
Well, and Dave, he's not the one who tries to rape her. If you'll remember, there's another person in the movie.
All right.
They talked about it. We don't need to get into Companion backdoor reviewing that as well.
They talked about it being a thing in Dredd, but they didn't use it as a... plot device, and I really appreciate that.
Jack Quaid? You mean Carl Urban's friend?
And can it be said,
Michael has facepalmed. This episode holds the record for the amount of facepalms.
The only other thing I was thinking is Domhnall Gleeson's in this as like a little rat guy. Mm.
Wow, yeah, I forgot he was in it.
He was like Garland's guy
for a little bit, yeah.
Because he was in Never Let Me Go, which was one of his first big written movies and stuff. Or I guess, you know, he had after Danny Boyle. But that's a weird movie about like the clones or something. It's something crazy, yeah. And then Dread Ex Machina, three in a row with old and he has I'm brought him back. I wonder what's going on. Or Ex Machina too. Yeah.
Star Wars swallowed him up.
I know, he got swallowed up. He got thrown into the Disney meat grinder.
The old Hux himself.
People well, go any, in, any, content comes out.
Any, yes. any closing thoughts on Dread?
Mm-hmm. 5 out of 5, like, love. Love it. It's great.
I don't know if I would... 4.5 might be where I'm landing. Wow. On Dread. I really like Dread. If we're going letterbox ratings, 4.5's great. Great visuals. I really like. There were some great shots in the beginning. I mean, because it's low budget, they had to make it more grounded. But even then, we get some great establishing shots of just this desert wasteland, and then you just see these giant mega buildings like in the horizon. Like you get it. They do still get some great cool shots in there despite their low budget. Yeah, this, you know, if you any gore hounds out there, you get head explosions, you get punched brains. In throats. There's say what?
Brains, there's brains.
There are brains. Yeah, there's corpse goo. This movie's got so much corpse goo.
The pavement at the bottom is pretty gnarly.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or at the end where we see Mama doing it and she's laying
you
in
see it from
camera,
the grounds
which
point of
I do
POV.
Want to call out there's some rhyme there as she's exploding into wet goo, the blood makes an X on the screen and then who has an X? Judge Dredd.
Right. Also, his helmet was different than the other judges' helmets, which I never noticed before either.
Oh. Check it out.
Maybe it was because he was in shadows, but it looks very different.
Definitely check it out. Like I said, Academy Award-winning mouth acting from Carl Urban.
Yeah, it's fun. I felt pretty less than lukewarm, but I think I do. There's time and place for it, I think.
It's a ride you can certainly enjoy the first time, and then maybe you lose something on repeat viewing.
But I think if you watch Judge Dredd from 1995, they both together, I think, make like a great 4-star movie somehow.
So a Judge Dredd.
I think like because I do like that this movie is falling.
Release the Ryan cut.
This movie is like ridiculous. Like doesn't really
more
work
robots,
either, but it has some really good elements, and I think that like you'll kind of wish that this one or they did another one where they could like really. Really boost it up.
I do wish Dredd had Judge Dredd's like comparable budget because I think the movie that handles Judge Dredd as a character and has action and like setup as Dredd does, but with all of the weird, you know, mutant people and robot monsters and scale.
Wasteland like
guys.
There's like things like happening. Like the thing that I'm missing in this movie, like it's a lot of things like. In the beginning of Judge Dredd, there's like a robot with like a Coors logo on top of it, like wandering around the hallways, like selling.
That's some RoboCop stuff.
And it's like saying like eat recycled food, it's good for you, and all these things.
Well, and when they get the bodies in this one, they're like send them to recycle. They're recycling the bodies.
Yeah, but like
are they eating Soylent Green?
Probably.
But like I don't know, like it needs like it's like more like the people don't need to be saying quips and funny stuff, but just like the world kind of needs like a little bit more of that kind of like color a little bit in this movie.
I think
that's a symptom of the time, like 2012. It's a very like grim, dark, gritty, real.
Because those are the things that make a satire clearly like this is supposed to be funny, right? Is like outrageous advertisements where like this is the world they see. This is ridiculous. It's funny because I see what they're parodying or what they're projecting. Like and this was this one doesn't want to play in that silly.
This
space.
Is still like we're in the aftermath of the Nolan Batman verse, not the Schumacher verse, which is where Judge Dredd was working.
100%. 100%. That is, Michael, that might be the smartest parallel you've drawn on this show ever, which is Judge Dredd came
you
out.
Hate
in
to
the
say
old,
it. You hate
you
to
hate
say
to
it.
Say
you
it.
Didn't even get shot in the nuts.
You hate to say it, but that is exactly right. This Dredd is reflective of the Nolan Dark Knight Batmans, just as Judge Dredd is reflective of the 90s Batman movies.
You're right.
Honestly, my mind has exploded. That's
so
huge.
Every movie is Batman.
To put it further in perspective, Judge Dredd's outfit in Judge Dredd 95 was literally made by Giorgio Armani.
No, and it looks like the comic, though, too. It looks like it.
It does. Whereas in this one, it's way more tactical and practical. It's like a jacket.
This is the era of tactical. Yeah,
but like I said, we love Captain Cool toy helmets and stuff. So it's good for that, you know. It's fun. Yeah.
Ryan's review is very much like, it didn't really do it, but I love everything around it. I love the concept. I love the, but it just didn't do it for me for 45 minutes in the middle.
Yeah, and I think there's fun performances. I love, like, Garland's been a guy, like one of my guys, you know, and so it's just like, it's cool. It's interesting to hear that he was a big, like, more involved in this than I originally thought. So,
yeah.
Cody, what do you think?
Recommend? Like it. I like it. I recommend. I give it a 4 stars and a like, but my caveat has always been 4 stars and a like could use more variety of action. And that's solely because of comparison. And that's, you know what they say, comparison is the thief of joy. Like, I shouldn't watch this and think about RoboCop. I shouldn't watch this and think about all the raid action scenes. But when your movie is built like those things, it unfortunately draws that comparison kind of hard. But I still like it a lot. And it's nice to have a movie that I like a lot that Jana makes me watch every year.
Well, Mike, why don't you bring us on home? Would you recommend Little Women? Dredd. I mean Dredd.
Juno's friend.
Alternate title.
I think it's no. It's not like, you know, I don't. I love that you guys love it. I don't want to, you know, take away that joy or, you know, but
so
I.
So you're giving this a fail.
I think, I mean, I rated it like right down the middle, like I said. I think, though, like, it doesn't have enough to nudge it over for a recommendation for me. Like, I do feel like, I think the big problems for me, like we said, there's some of the stuff with the action stuff is like not the best. And I think, like, at the end of the day, like, there's something about it. I think, like, I'm confused on what this movie's like kind of going for a bit and thematically, like, it loses me a bit. Like, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to kind of like get from it. You know, like, who am I? I appreciate the love for Dredd, but I didn't like Dredd. Like, I didn't like Dredd. Like, not like I thought it was a bad acting or anything. I didn't like him. I was not rooting for him, and I wasn't really rooting for anybody else. And I was kind of like,
what about Anderson?
Yeah, I guess a little bit Anderson. She was definitely the one I liked the most. And by the end of it,
is this movie missed it by 3 points, so that's still a fail. Yeah.
Oh my god, Michael is Dredd.
Yeah, I would recommend I would say like watch RoboCop and Die Hard or The Raid instead.
Die Hard sucks. Don't watch Die Hard.
I'm gonna say you might want to keep that on the download, Ricky Gallo. That's gonna keep you from the force.
It's so boring. I literally was watching it, and probably the same as Michael for Dredd. Like, why does this movie exist? Sucks.
Yeah. You're watching it like, who hasn't gotten some glass shards in their feet before? Stop being a pussy, McClane.
If the wet bandits can put up with it, then John McClane can certainly put up with it.
Well, for one last thing here, this isn't really our place to say, but do you guys think that Rookie Anderson is a pass? Do you think she made the grade?
She did.
Well, can I?
Or not? I'm sorry, not Rookie Anderson. Do you guys think Rookie Gallo made the grade? Should she be a judge?
All I'm going to say is I'm glad I'm not the judge supervising the assessment.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a big question. I mean, it's unquestionable thoughts, you know, throughout, especially the diehard thing. It's pretty, but, you know, I respect the opinion, you know.
Do you guys, I've heard that Fridge is a big fan of Die Hard, so you might want to just not mention that in the evaluation, Judge Gallo.
Fridge and I have the sort of relationship where we can disagree with each other.
Never disagreed with Fridge.
Yeah, he got nuts done when he did.
Yeah, when I tried, I got my nuts destroyed.
She's a good mentor.
Can I leave it with a quote from Juno's friend?
Yes. Yes. Nobody say anything else. This is the end of
the
episode.
Take us home, Ryan.
Basically, Juno says that, oh, babies have fingernails. And then Juno's friend, Leia, says, oh, gruesome. I wonder if the baby's claws could scratch your vag on the way out. Diablo Cody, Juno.
Why did we do that?
You did it.
I know. I'm ending this. I'm stopping the record right now. I'm not letting anything else happen after that.
All right. Well, Judge Gallo has already left the scene, but I'll end the episode by saying,
court is adjourned. Yeah.